The agenda that we are having for our second meeting, we've got a briefing that we are supposed to get. The briefing by Department of Sports and Recreation and the Department of Basic Education on development of school sports. You remember it was the briefing that we were supposed to have, and we rescheduled that briefing because of the incident that happened. And then the second briefing, which will be the briefing by the Department of Sports on the national sports in Daba. But I'm going to request members, because the deputy minister has requested that he's having flu, that he does talk to the national sports in Daba. Because it's a very thick document. The intention was just to take us through so that we have an opportunity when we go through that document, at least they pressed us. On that note, Deputy Minister, I'm going just to allow you for 15 minutes to talk to the National Sports in Daba.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, good morning, thank you. I am really fighting about the flu, and I just hope I don't start coughing while I speak to this all-important matter. Honorable Chairperson, we will all know that we had, over the past years, noticed that globally, more and more leaders politically, socially, wherever, are taking sport very seriously. In fact, world leaders worldwide are acknowledging that sport touches basically every facet and aspect of a nation's ethos. We can talk about the economic value and the drivers of job creation. When we talk about that, we can talk about the nation building and the social cohesion, the role sport is playing towards peace and development, and we're talking peacekeeping, peace building, and then obviously the social and economic values, not talking to the healthy lifestyles and the savings that we can bring about when we look at the saving on the health account of the country. And at the strategic workshop in the beginning of this year, honorable members, we have resolved at the end of the strategic workshop that we need to embark on a road where we really consult as widely as possible to arrive for the first time ever in the country's history with a sports plan, a national sports plan. We will know, if we just pause here for a moment, honorable Chairperson, that we have had a process of consultation updating the white paper, the policy of sport. That's completed. Now that we have a policy updated, it can't be a document lying there. Therefore, the need to have the how, the practical plan as to how are we unpacking what we say is important. Honorable Chairperson, at the base of this is the strong participation base that we should have, starting in schools, but also in communities, and that goes with that. In other words, the aim must be to broaden the base of participation so that, honorable Chairperson, we can select our teams from not 10% of the population participating in sport, but hopefully from 50 to 60 to 70%. That must obviously, if we do that, be underpinned by our quest to thrive in international sporting success. We want our teams to be at least the world beaters. We know we have the potential, and we are convinced that if we foster South African identity, promoting a common sense of belonging and participation, and broaden the base of participation, that we will do justice the resource. Now, we all know, honorable members, that the cake is this big, and everybody is fighting for a slice of that cake. So, embedded here is for us to enrich the documentation to say, yes, we're going to make the case for sport, we're going to make a case for more money, but with the existing money what we have, how do we align that money to ensure that we stretch the value, we squeeze out of the rand that we have in sport? And here I talk about MIG funding, which is ring-fenced now. Our director of facilities is here, Mr. Sibiwe Nube. He worked very hard with us over the years to have it a standalone ring-fenced account in municipalities. And that would be to upgrade, catch up the backlog of facilities. Secondly, the lotto, the miscellaneous fund, and the distribution out of the lottery. We must see how it is that we can enhance to achieve at least 25% of that pie to us. Members, just for historic reasons, let me give you the history. We started in 2004 with 10% allocated to us. We argued the case for sport moved up to 50 to 17.5. It's at the moment of 22%. We are arguing we want 25% because historically the National Lottery was enacted precisely to get the money needed in sport for sport development and to fund the transformational and the developmental targets that we need to achieve in sport. So also going with that is then a developmental and a transformation target, and that what we say is we have it here, we've distributed to honorable members. It is a draft transformation charter with a draft scorecard. We want to achieve that. But then there's also policy imperatives, honorable members. I mean, we spoke about the funding, but then we must also speak about the demarcation of roles and responsibilities. And here we must be guided by the constitution of the country and the legal framework. We have the Structures Act, the Sport and Recreation Act, we have the Articles of Association of SASCOC, we have all those things. We must speak about how we align the funding, how we demarcate the roles, who's responsible for what, so that there's clarity. Let me give an example, honorable members, and I value the opportunity to appear in front of this august committee, honorable chair, precisely because you represent provinces. We have engaged with National Treasury as a national department. We came up with a document precisely to ensure the alignment of the budgeting and the funding processes between the various spheres of government. We don't want to be in transgression of the Act, but we would like to see optimal use and alignment of the funding to the agreed National Sport Integration Plan. Obviously, another policy is the ethical environment, drug-free sport, and good governance, and then obviously a communication and a marketing plan. But honorable members, the one thing that we will have to address in this whole process is transformation. Now, transformation is sometimes very misunderstood, sometimes wrongly communicated, sometimes emotionally blown out of proportion. In simple terms, there must be access for all our children. We must establish a competitive and demographically representative sports system in this country based on a value set, which means equal opportunity, fairness, just behavior, equitable resource distribution, and empowerment. Now, what is meant by this? Let's just talk about one thing, empowerment. We do not have, honorable chairperson, in this country, a leadership development model in sport, where you prepare athletes, ex-athletes, current athletes, or just people who love sport to be administrators to run a club. that a standalone physical education, developing the motor skills of children and all that goes with that. And we say this must be done in line with our national priorities as a government. We must have also a variation, we suggest, of grassroots sports programs, modified sport. Now when I say this, people say, but what are you saying? But I'm talking about things like the Baker's Mini Cricket. You know, it's modified sport, get children involved, you see the potential, then you unlock the potential. Like the Billikies rugby concept up in the Tshwane area. When you just get the children to play, you see the potential of them and how you stimulate them. We have agreed already, as part of the roadmap spelled out by the Honourable Minister, that we will have annual national youth camps for sport. But there's another part that is silent at the moment. We are the Department of Sport and Recreation, but we don't have very active recreational programs. We see the Amagogo playing there in Limpopo Province Soccer. Wonderful recreation day. Fantastic to watch. It's very exciting to go watch them play. But recreational programs, hiking, walking, jogging, just doing the things that's done world over. In this process also, Honourable Chairperson, within the demarcation of roles and responsibilities, we must also, after the national plan has been adopted, speak to the strengthening of our, thank you, of our delivery system in sport. Taking into account the legal framework, what does the Constitution say? Who is responsible at what sphere for what? But also taking into account that we have SASCOC, the Sports Confederation Olympic Committee, and also taking into account that we have sports councils in every district. The aim is to have in every ward activity and a hive of sport. So we will have to strengthen the delivery system through collaborative agreements, performance agreements, through these delivery partners of us. We envisage, Chair, that we will push for greater cooperation between sport and recreation, the police, the defense force, correctional services, with various views. The one is to see how best we can use the facilities and expertise they have, like we do with boxing now, through Sanabu in Oudtshoorn, to train boxers, but also to look at employment opportunities, not only whilst you're in training or being groomed, but also post your career. So whilst offering opportunities to train at the appropriate level, we are also looking at a broader employment strategy for our athletes. We have to pronounce, honourable members, on the holistic approach of transformation, but then say what we need is really a catch-up strategy. A catch-up strategy that will assist us to get more of our children starting from the same line. And we will have along these lines have to have talent identification programs, academy system supported by sport scientific services. That will ensure that we have international access. We will have to link up with the mega sports events. Like, and I want to use an example. We have the Comrades Marathon, we have the Argus, we have a lot of these activities taking place, and they just happen. It's no club organizing it, it's a federation organizing it. We'll have to link up with the mega sports events to maximize the initiatives which is important for government. I've alluded to the Robic and playing sport for peace, peacekeeping, peace building, and with that development, we will have to establish South Africa as a world leader in global initiatives along these lines. But we will have to address another thorny issue, and we allude to that in the sports panel of our members. We will have to address professionalism in sport. We will have all of our members to enrich our discussion around this and ask ourselves, how correct is it that a child younger than 18 years of age are professionally contracted and then eventually locked up in an academy, don't play for a some schools are offering bursaries and services to some children in sport younger than 18. We will have to enrich the debate around that and talk about the professionalism in sports. But honourable members, we will also have to talk about the international sports calendar. Let me unpack what I'm saying. We find that that a lot of our athletes are participating in sport. But there's no tracking mechanism. There's no whatever. If you excelled in this tournament and you went abroad, you come back, how do we nurture that talent? How do we track it? How do we ensure that we tap the potential for our children? So what I'm saying, it must be linked with a sport-specific long-term athlete development plan. But also, Chair, ensure that we participate and expose our children at the international sport events that are taking place. Because it's through that that they gain experience. It's through that that they don't get, you know, who was this guy who was supposed to sing the national anthem that said the moment was too big for him? You know, had he sung it before and so on, the woman who didn't mean too big for him. I have seen athletes in my life getting literally jitters before they have to run. It's the adrenaline, it's the lack of experience, the lack of exposure. Now we say that must be a long-term plan. Even if we have to take them in an 8-year cycle, we must pronounce on that. We must have it in our sports plan. But linked to the international sports calendar, honorable members, we will have to discipline our sporting society. What do I mean by that? If I get to a function and somebody come and whisper in my ear, "Oh, Deputy Minister, there's submission on its way to you, you've spoken to so-and-so, you know the International Federation wants us to host this and this and this." No, no, we can't work like that. Because sports tourism, by hosting international mega events here, is not meant that we as the government take out money and pay for people to come here and subsidize them heavily. It's meant to get people here, to get bums in beds, to get them to spend money, to brand South Africa as a country of excellence that can host these events, and there must be a legacy coupled to it. So we will have to talk about the bidding and the hosting as well in terms of international sports calendar and the sports tourism part of that. Honourable members, we will have to assist the smaller federations with a sports house where instead of the department coming here saying we want to give 50,000 rand to figure skating and 10,000 rand to this one and 75,000 rand to this federation, you find that federation operates from a cell phone in the car of a boot of a car that can't work. That's not professional. We will have to look at the concept of a sports house linked with the national department where we empower them with decent bookkeeping, record keeping, and whatever you have to do. I'm talking the smaller federations. And we will have to get input on that. We envisage, if we establish that, that we could even offer some of those services to our regional sporting bodies, continental and even international sporting bodies, branding South Africa and the sports house concept. We have Chairperson alluded to the MIG, that's ring-fenced, but we face challenges there. The director was just telling me a story. I will not mention the municipality, but their part and their portion of the MIG is 10 million rand. Now, 15% for sport is 150,000 rand. Now, it means we bid with a challenge. I mean, I don't understand what we can do with that money. So it means it's a work in progress, engaging on a wider scale to see how we can address those specifics. But in other municipalities, you may find that the 15% is a lot of money to spend, which will need the project manager to address the need of our people. I'm citing this just to say we are aware of the possible bottlenecks, but there's a goodwill spirit, a spirit of cooperation, a and I alluded to the lotteries and the distribution arm and the miscellaneous fund when I spoke about the funding. But here again, we are soliciting input to enrich the plan because the present system doesn't work. If we say miscellaneous fund and we get 25%, not 22, we want 25, then Chair, we must also have 25% of the miscellaneous fund. And then we must have 25% for distribution. Now, if honorable members will recall how the lottery works, 5% of the income goes to the miscellaneous fund. We say we want our 25% share of that 5% against the agreed sports plan to assist us with a catch-up strategy. It must be an intervention that we make. But on the 25%, I say present 22, we want the 25%. We must pronounce on the best way to deal with this. Is it to have the distribution arm where if you're lucky, you double dip, if you're not lucky, you're in trouble? Or is it to say, no, we now have embarked from a agreed upon, widely consulted, well canvassed sport plan? Against the sport plan, we've agreed on demarcation of roles. We must empower SASCOC, the sports councils, according to their needs. We must empower the athlete development program according to the needs. In this way, stretching the rands we have available to have optimal use of it, and not have this thing by the end of the financial year, we hear, no, there's still a couple of million lying around, and so no. It must be predictable. It must be so predictable that, like our midterm expenditure framework, they must know over the next 3-4 years, against these deliverables, if we use the money correctly and if we deploy the money correctly, this is what we're going to receive so that we can plan. Our members, up to now, we have had various provincial Izindaba. I'm aware that MECs that do a lot of work to consult with the sports councils from district level, municipalities, eventually in the provincial Indaba, various Inzindaba, to enrich the program. However, when we go to the national Indaba, it's envisaged that we will have collected already all the inputs from the provincial Inzindaba, those with other stakeholders like sponsors, the private and corporate sector, selected NGOs. We have it in place already, a drafting team engaging and saying you've enriched the program, the plan like this, the transformation charter, those are your suggestions. Tell us so that when we get to the national Indaba, it's a broadly agreed, more or less, plan. So that when we go into the commissions at the Indaba, we will just pronounce on the crossing the T here and the I there, but the general thrust will go in the same direction, so that we come to adopting by way of resolutions that we know we are now talking to the how of the policy, that we have integrated the 6 priority areas of the roadmap into the sport recreation plan, that we have a process where we can fast track transformation not only on participation level but also in coaching and in all the other spheres, that we have a collective buy-in from all the stakeholders, and that we can really say we've streamlined the implementation process and we are all now working towards reaching the common objectives as set out in the plan. Chairperson, let me just conclude by saying this much. A lot of documentation has been distributed to honorable members. Honorable members, I know it's I almost said a hell of a lot of reading to do, but I really plead with the honorable members to do that, because what we are going to emerge with is going to determine the element of the documentation. These are discussion documents out there, and this is part of it, Honorable Chairperson. In fact, we will come back, hopefully before the Indaba Chair, in your busy schedule, to spend some more time drawing from the wisdom of this committee, enriching our program, the draft sports plan, the transformation charter, the perspective document. And we do that because, Chair, we are convinced that without the coordinated, without the integrated and aligned sports system in this country, in which all component parts are focused towards a common set of goals and objectives, we will not be able to unlock the potential value of sport in this country. And therefore, it's important that all sectors must buy in and must commit to the strategic direction that will emerge from the sports endowment. Now, we envisage, once we've completed the plan, we've accepted, endorsed, agreed, flowing from that, there will be service level agreements signed with various stakeholders, SALGA, the provinces, and so on, unfolding what we do. So, Chair, honourable members, what we ask of this honourable committee is what we ask all our stakeholders to really embark on a genuine, constructive debate aimed at enriching our sports plan, but in doing so, not lose sight of the quest of the other imperative, the transformation, and how we achieve that, bearing in mind the national unity, social cohesion, and transforming sport for the better of all of us in this country. Honorable Chairperson, I thought I would just like to say these things by way of working up the appetite of honorable members. So when you read, we read with a view to enrich and to achieve precisely what you so need in this country. Let me observe lastly, Honorable Chairperson and members. We may emerge from the sports in Dapa with a wonderful plan, which we can in the first year only fund a certain portion of. But if we align the money, it then becomes predictable as to what will happen the second year, the third year, in the cycle going forward. And as we grow the case for sport, so will we, I'm sure, succeed in growing not only the budget, but the financial input from sponsorship to right through of our sports system. Honorable Chairperson, I don't know whether there are any questions for clarity at this stage, but let me just plead once again to honorable members to please just consult these documents. It is important, and we're looking forward to your good input and your wisdom. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. I think I'm going to allow because time is on our side because we are going to have another presentation. But maybe firstly, I should, before I allow members to interact with your presentation for 5 minutes, I should indicate that one had an opportunity to hear that the provincial endeavors. And as you rightfully indicated that we are representing provinces, I think as a chairperson I must register our dissatisfaction about the participation, because when we go to the provincial endeavor, we want to input as members of the select committee as we are representing different provinces, but we seem not to be getting that opportunity. Is that we will expect also to have a meeting where we'll be dealing with what the input, like we indicated that most of the provinces already have the provincial endeavor, and to look into that, because what way I'm seated, I know that in 2007 we had the national endeavor where there were resolutions. One would like to check how far are we. It would need us to interact, but I'm pleading that even when we go to the national endeavor, let the SLEC committee also be given that opportunity to input, because we are one parliament and we represent provinces. We know exactly what is happening. I feel that I should indicate, because from the study group there was an indication, one was under the impression that the program has not started of the provincial endeavor, but I'm surprised that it has already started where members didn't even have an opportunity to participate and input in that. On that note, I'm just going to allow members that we interact with the presentation for 5 minutes. Honorable Pinky.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chair, let me start with what you were saying. The emphasis on Peswa representing provinces. With this is in Davos, they sat in our provinces and we didn't know. Also, the relationship with the department is like a strange today, you bring us in, tomorrow, forgotten. Just want to remind that there are two houses, because there's a good relationship with that other house, but with us here it is estranged. I think I want to raise, in the spirit of the transformation, the issue of the, I don't know whether you call it female soccer or women's soccer. I've been following it and always get these concerns from the women that there is no structure that coordinates them, or there are also no developmental support mechanism to nature the talent. They meet nationally, but they go back to their places, nobody knows them, and hence the question of picking up the talent is very difficult with them, with the women or female soccer, which is because maybe there are no clubs. There's no federation for women soccer and all those things. So that's the thing that I said. I'll raise this thing. Yeah. The other one is on the, I don't know whether it's social cohesion or the nation building and the national unity. We may take it as a joke, but to us it is very hurting and an insult in terms of what normally happens when there's rugby. Events. We always have a problem of batching and whatever our national anthem. What one would want to request from the department is that it should be mandatory that all national sporting codes, it shall be mandatory that they must know, practice how to sing the national anthem. Starting from soccer, you see on TV or soccer, they sing it because it's sung by the cassette. And the question of how they should behave or how they should stand it's not there. Then you then find those ones who think they understand it, then they bash and the national anthem, sing it the way they like it, and apologize thereafter. And you can't take it that always. When there's a rugby occasion, always our chance is not known. So then just emphasize that it should be the last time, but across, let's have that thing in terms of all the national codes, sporting codes, the national anthem is our identity. It is the nation building. But if they always reflect that they don't care about it, they rather not see it, then we see that no, they're undermining. Thank you.
Thanks, honorable members. No other hand. Take it, the deputy minister will answer the questions.
Thank you, honorable members. Can I just start with the provincial Izindaba? I'm really surprised. We will take it up. I plead that honorable members to understand if you at national engage at the steering committee level with the heads of department and you give the guidelines. The steering committee comprises all heads of department in the provinces, SALGA, SASCOP, and the national department. And the secondly, we did also communicate that at MINMEC level. So, honourable members, I will really follow up as to how this happened that members were not invited. As for the national Indaba, there's going to be invitation to all members of the Select Committee and the Portfolio Committee from our side to attend. Hence our engagement now and our plea to enrich the documentation, the plan, so that when we arrive there, it's taken care of. Now, the Honourable Chairperson spoke about the Indaba of 2008 and the resolutions adopted there. We can come back and give a input, but all the resolutions adopted there have been implemented except one, which was the MIG funding, which we have reported on now is successful, and it starts now in the new financial year. In terms of the relationship, I want to just say, Honourable Chairperson, we have the same relationship with this August Committee and House as we have with the other Committee and House in Parliament. And if honourable members will go check my appearance and presence, I'm there, and there's no this or that. We won and we work in one Parliament. And I want to give the absolute assurance to honourable members that we really value the input of the NCLP as honourable members. On the transformation of let me put it differently. My sister from Gauteng refers to transformation. She speaks to about females, female participation. I want to with your permission, just put it slightly differently. You see, the participation of females, people with disability, is not what it should be. The levels of participation is totally too low. Totally unacceptably too low. We hope and pray that once we come out of the Indaba, and we have our school sport, compulsory physical education. We have, you know, a community strong, community participation base that we will grow that talent pool. We are engaging through SASFOP at the moment as part of this process in reaching the program. Precisely disability and gender. We ask it, what is happening? Is soccer doing the same to foster social cohesion, to grow the game, to take it to people that previously never had the opportunity to play the game? Females, whatever, are they as committed in funding as they are towards the male side? The same for rugby, the same for cricket, the same for athletics. In other words, this is it must be a holistic approach. We cannot, you know, say this one must do that and that one must do that. No, it must be a golden thread agreed to. So we really appreciate that input. It tells us, Honourable Chairperson, that when we communicate these things, we are not isolated. It indicates that we have support on the wider front, and we really welcome that and thank that. Lastly, national anthem. For instance, I know rugby guys. They must sing the national anthem. They go to a school to teach them the national anthem. Provincially, so they have that process going. But in this instance, and I don't want to say how I viewed that, and what my feeling was. We've dealt with that, but you know, it's now blame shifting. And now they say that Inet Supersport hosted the event, and Inet Supersport arranged this guy, and so on. This guy has no unconditionally apologized, made me see this, and so on and so on. But it's the second time. You remember a guy by the name of Rastu Musani, in that Rasta guy. So we have not only the national anthem, not only for rugby, for all our sporting teams, and our national symbols. It's the flag, the coat of arms, it's those things. We have embarked, and say what I'm going to say now. Honourable members must not think, ah, this deputy minister comes here under the guise of a flu, and then at the end he says something which is controversial. It's not meant to be controversial. But even in this parliament, I see honourable members, when we sing the national anthem, this one is scratching his ear, that one has got the hand in the pocket, this one has got his nose now. No, honourable members. It has to start with us. When your national anthem is sang, you remove your headgear. You stand at attention. It is your national symbol. And those are the values that we must unashamedly pronounce on. Those are the values, Chairperson, that, you know, makes us proud to be a South Africa. I was Friday morning passing in Mbokde with Lead South Africa. And this very same thing came up because the guy that choked was very fresh in the memory of the people there. And I was talking, and the media were there. I was talking about, I said, even you standing here this morning, corporate sponsors, media people, all of you, you don't understand the tension. You know? I'm not talking about the guy that's filming. I'm talking the guy that's singing. The one is standing like this, the other one standing like this. No. And how many of them came back afterwards? And I thought they were going to crack the whip on me and said, thank you for that. It's needed that we start to communicate that. And it's nothing wrong. In the spirit of being South African, to correct people, to say, no, man, it's a national anthem. Remove your head here. Let's stand at attention. Let's respect that. It's our flag being hoisted. Let's stand at attention and watch it being hoisted, so that we understand that. So, honourable members, now I want to assure you that we have embarked on a route, and we want to communicate and pronounce on that very, very strongly, and ensure that we all understand the meaning of the words in the national anthem. So, because if you don't understand the meaning of the words, you can't identify with that. Sing it correctly, and so on. I want to end up with something that I will remember till the day I die, and being a Christian, I believe I will even then understand this. I go to KwaZulu-Natal. Honourable Chairperson, the first Bok Friday. They have a wonderful program there. That was before the test in KZN. And it comes now to the national anthem, ending of the proceedings with the singing of the national anthem. And here they bring twins, two little girls, 4 years old. I afterwards, I wanted to steal them. I told their parents, I'm taking them with me. They absolutely identical. Now, they, as from this table, they this big. They walk out there, each with a pair of tackies on, in a jean and a Springbok shirt. They go, they've seen now the national team hold one another. So they hold one another and they stand at attention without music, without nobody, on their own, 4 years old. They sing the national anthem, they pronounce every word 100% correctly, whichever language. They sang the anthem to the decorum of an anthem. I'm saying decorum because sometimes, honourable chairperson, I listen to the anthem, this guy jazzifies it. I listen to the anthem, that guy sings it like on a funeral. You know, you understand what I'm saying? No. These two sang the anthem to the decorum of the anthem. The rhythm was correct, everything. And I looked at these two little blonde-haired girls standing there, 4 years old, and I was saying to myself, somewhere, we are winning, somewhere, we are doing something right in this country. Somewhere, we are really making massive progress. And I suggested to the leadership of rugby to fly those two up and to let them sing the anthem tomorrow night before the Springboks depart. Showcase those two youngsters to the world without music. Children voices, 4 years old, sing it perfectly. It will have impact. I hope they listen. If they didn't, I wash my hands. But honourable members, thank you for the time. Thank you for the opportunity, Honorable Chairperson and members. And if I may ask to be excused, please.
Thank you, Honorable Deputy Minister. We are really looking into, I think I'm going to lobby the chairperson of the select committee that we have a joint briefing to discuss and prepare for this national sports event. Thank you. On that note, we are thank you, Honorable Deputy Minister.
Chair, if I might just say, we did appear in front of this portfolio committee last week. We've concluded with them, but they also indicated they would like to engage, so there's no problem. If we can just find the time, we will be there.
Oh, no. Can we move to our second presentation? Honorable members, I'm just going to request that our delegation here introduce themselves so that we shouldn't just take for granted that we know each other. Yes.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable members. I'd just like to formally introduce myself and the full delegation. And to start off with, I'm Vivian Cardlefer. I'm a Deputy Director General in Basic Education. My responsibility there is strategic planning and reporting, and I was requested by the Director General of Basic Education to lead the delegation here today. I need to also start by formally tendering the apologies of both the DGs, the Acting DG of Sport and Recreation South Africa, as well as the DG of Basic Education, who on the one hand, in the case of the DG for Sport, she's celebrating Eid today and therefore can't join us. And in the case of Mr. Bonnie O'Brien, he has a long-standing commitment for which he has tendered a written apology for today's session. So I'm here to represent him in this meeting. I'm going to also just request, and this is a joint presentation, but I also need to start, and the delegation has requested that I formally tender an apology for the late submission of the presentation. It is because there's a clear understanding that between the two departments that if that both parties are satisfied with the contents of the presentation that has delayed the submission, but I think that all members have received it prior to today's meeting, so I take that as the first point of departure. The second, Honourable Chair, is that the delegation as it stands here today is not equally represented, so not all parties in the two departments are represented, but because of the joint discussion, they are adequately prepared for the discussion here today, and we undertake also that should there be any further follow-up, that will be supplied either in writing or in the follow-up presentation as the chair deems fit. The delegation here today, the presentation, will be made, first of all, by two colleagues on my left. And I will just ask the colleague to identify herself and the department that she represents, and we will run down. We are four members present here today, and we'll take each one of them to present and introduce themselves. Then I'll come back.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson in the House. My name is Nozipho Xolo Mabhumo. I'm the Director for Safety, Enrichment, and Sport in Education from the Department of Basic Education.
Good morning. Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, I'm Rohini Naidu, Acting Chief Director, Mass Participation Program, School Sport, SRSA.
Good morning, Chair and Members. I'm Simphiwe Mnube from Sport and Nutrition South Africa. Responsible for facilities, director responsible for facilities.
Good morning. I'm Hajira Mashiko, director responsible for sports science support from Sports and Recreation South Africa.
Thank you, Chair. I want to ask, I just want to introduce Ms. Kelly Mwede. She's the parliamentary liaison officer for basic education. We tend to forget our 40 quite often in my introduction. spoken on her behalf in this instance. Next time she'll do so. I'm also apologizing, Chair. I'm also battling with a bit of a throat infection, so I'm very happy that the presentation is being done by my two colleagues on the left. I will assist, though, with answering some of the questions should they arise for me to respond to them. But I think just to outline that we are conscious of the time constraints, so we will be as succinct as possible in our presentation. Just to outline that in terms of today's session, the presentation will cover the progress on physical education, on school sport leagues, secondly, and thirdly, on the integrated school sports plan, on the long-term participant development support, and then finally, some recommendations on the way forward. And I want to formally hand over to the first presenter to take us through the plan.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and members. Honourable members, I would like to start with the physical education and the progress that is made as the Department of Basic Education, since physical education resides within the Department of Basic Education. We have done the training of foundation-based educators in 7 provinces in 2010. 2 provinces that were unable to do training of educators there is Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal, and further training of those educators in those 2 provinces will be done in line with the curriculum assessment policy statements. As you are well aware, probably that physical education now within CAPS has a specific time allocation which is 2 hours in the foundation phase. So the training of CAPS, of educators in CAPS, would also include thorough training in physical education. That's how we are going to further train educators in physical education from here onwards. We have developed the training material and the resource packs for educators in the intermediate and senior phase, and that also will go hand in hand with the training of educators in CAPS. But we also feel that there should be additional resource material for educators, especially in them understanding the differences in physical education and physical training, as there usually is misunderstanding in that phase. So that is what we've been able to pick up, and currently we are working with Redcap Foundation in terms of developing those resource materials. On the school sport leagues, we started the program early in a year, and we've done the advocacy on the establishment of the leagues in 4 sporting codes, which is netball, football, rugby, and cricket, which commenced in January, as I indicated earlier on, to the 11th. We've got to date almost 3,000 schools that have registered throughout the country, and they are currently playing in district level. Recently, in August, we engaged as a department in a monitoring session where we picked up different provinces. We randomly picked districts where we visited just to see whether, as we are getting reports that the leagues are playing at the district level, that is true. For an example, in Mpumalanga, in Kharasibande, we confirmed that the leagues are there. I will provide the house with the whole list and where we've gone to, so that you can also be able to assist in terms of verifying and also giving feedback to us, because that would appreciate a lot. We intended to have a national launch of the leagues and the distribution of donated sport material. I must just indicate, Honourable Chairperson, that we have worked very well with different companies, including Adidas, to sponsor some of these leagues as they are playing with the kit and the playing material. So we wanted in the national launch of these leagues to be able to distribute the material. But we halted the process because there was a political mandate that I'm going to speak to, that's the school sport plan, that we wanted to engage ourselves in, that is going to assist us as 2 departments in terms of identifying our roles and responsibilities, then be able to launch this and give schools the material in that fashion. But we have all distributed the soccer balls that we've received from UNICEF as part of the donation, because we also wanted the leagues to continue and have at least the basic material, you know, to work with. Rohini is going to take over from here.
Honourable Chair, I'm going to speak to some of the work that we have engaged in this year. And the first half was to focus on the establishment of school code committees to facilitate the delivery of sport in schools. We worked with federations as well as school, provincial school code structures. Where they were not established, we've asked for interim structures to be established. And these school code committees are constituted of educators, serving educators. And that was as per a document that was developed by both education and ourselves over, I think it was in 2009 and 2010, in terms of the guidelines for the establishment of these code committees. A successful meeting or three-day workshop was held with national federations, provincial federations, as well as the school code committees to engage all these stakeholders in developing a common plan for the delivery and support of leagues in schools as well as capacity building and training. I think also key in this was where we've been able to bring together sport for the physically, it's for the PD sport, physically disabled sport, together with Elson schools, etc. Because this was a very marginalized component in school sport. And the difficulty we had there was also in terms of relationships with these different groups. Everybody wanted to operate on their own. So in developing these structures, interim structures or national plans, we ensured that every code sat jointly and developed plans that were aligned out of what is it that that code as a federation wants to see for development in the country. The arising out of those discussions were code development plans. There were 15 codes, and those 15 codes were selected largely because these were the codes that were being offered in schools all along. However, as the Deputy Minister, through his presentation this morning, inputted, the sports plan would probably guide us on what are going to be the priority codes in the country, and we'll be guided by that finally. But for now, we say business as usual, we're working with those codes that were currently being delivered in schools. And arising out of that program for that weekend, we have 15 intensive development plans that have come about for those codes. Also at the same time, whilst we had the national plans, we then engaged with provincial stakeholders, so the school sports stakeholders, as well as the federations and provincial departments, to develop provincial code delivery plans and arising out of what is the federation's national plan. So all this will fit in. The experience we've had in the last few years that there's been a lot of duplication. There'd be a school tournament taking place in an age group, and then the federation is having the same age group tournament about 2 weeks later. So it was wasteful expenditure or duplication of resources, but at the same time, you're burning out young athletes in school, and you're putting too much of pressure on learners. So this process, you know, a lot of it has been process-driven to ensure that we are going to get maximum useful resources as well as alignment of all programs. Inherent, I mean, in these programs are the delivery of leagues for schools, as well as the training of educators as coaches, umpires, technical officials, managers, and administrators. And, of course, the provision of equipment and attire to support these programs. I must say that Nozipa is going to go into the integrated school sport plan. Whilst we have developed this, further discussions through the integrated school delivery plan, where we've identified roles and responsibilities, that this is a role now in terms of the leagues, like my colleague Nozipo has reported on, is a Department of Education responsibility. This work that we've concluded, we are now handing over to the Department of Education to take forth.
Thank you. Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, the mandate that we were given at the beginning of the year was to develop an integrated school sport plan, which was going to assist us in terms of indicating between the two departments our roles and responsibilities, so that we are able to utilize the available resources as well as financial resources adequately and avoid double dipping, because most work was done by us. At the same time, there's also work that was done by the Department of Sports and Recreation. So we started the process at the beginning of the year through the task team that was formed by both ministers, which we served at an operational level, myself and Ms. Naidu. We developed and completed the development of the of this document, where we did the consultation with our provincial counterparts in different departments. As DPE, we have presented the document for input to senior management, to HEDCOM, and also to CEM, to Council of Executive Members. And as well as we've taken this discussion with our stakeholders, our teacher unions, our school governing bodies, so that they also have an input on the document in terms of have a common understanding on what is it that we are responsible for. Sports and Recreation has also presented this document to HEDCOM as well as MINMEC. The most important aspect that we've been able to reach in terms of the document, I'm going to speak to it in terms of the areas of agreement. It was a long discussion that we've taken. I mean, it took us almost 6 months just to get the document together, but it was a fruitful discussion because it allowed us to look at school sport internally and be able to see how to develop plans thereafter. We have presented the document before the ministers, both ministers, for further processing on the 22nd of July of this month. And we are currently busy now with the plans according to the roles and responsibilities that we have agreed to. The areas of agreement within the plan itself, DM this morning spoke to the issues of setting norms and standards in sport in the country. That is the responsibility of Sports and Recreation. Department of Basic Education is responsible for the development of school sport policy or guidelines and all the inter school sport activities taking place up to the district level. Hence the issues of school sport leagues as they take place within the schools and between schools is now our formal responsibility. If I may get into the issue of the school sport policy, I must indicate to honourable members through you, Chairperson, that we have presented the policy before the minister, our minister, and have requested our minister to meet with the Minister of Sport and Recreation so that they can take the process forward for it to be taken for public comment. So it is at that level as we speak. Sport and Recreation will develop a policy or guidelines and support for all agencies that are delivering sporting activities in South Africa, as well as indicating how people who are working in schools, what agencies that are working in schools, what is the protocol, because they also need to go through Sports and Recreation in ourselves so that they are able to deal with the parameters that are set according to the planning framework. We've also agreed that we need to form a school sport coordinating committee that needs to be appointed by the ministers that will be able to address some of the critical areas that we've identified in the integrated plan. One of that is the issue of formation of structures that we need to be able to do. It has to be this committee that is able, especially to drive that aspect, because it speaks to different sporting codes and formation of committees in different sporting codes. Rohini, thank you.
Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, I mean, in terms of the agreement with Department of Education, a core responsibility for the Department of Education, I'm sorry, Department of Sport, is capacity building for educators, as well as talent identification and development of athletes. As far as the coach training is concerned, or training of educators, we've agreed that, you know, whilst the leagues will be a focus area and that it would provide an opportunity for young people to participate in a competitive sport, we need to also look at a mechanism for talent identification, and that whilst we're doing this, we also need to ensure that there is a balance between playing sport, opportunities for young people to just play, but also for young people to follow a talent path where we identify that
talent. As the Department of Sport, and I think, you know, noting full well the history in terms of us finally finding our way with education and Department of Sport, we needed to look at what is it that is our contribution to school sport. And I think in terms of the educators, if we're going to focus on training educators, focused, accredited training, you know, not just ad hoc, fly-by-night service providers, etc., that if we put in this resource there, we would then be providing an opportunity for young people in schools to receive skilled training as well, and for them to continue in sport and along the talent and participant development pathway. Currently, both the Department of Sport as well as SASCOC is working on a long-term coaching development plan for the country, a long-term participant development plan. We've not called it athlete development plan, we've called it participant, because some people become athletes, some people continue in sport, but not as outstanding athletes, right? So we say long-term participant development plan, and there is a sports for life document. And all these documents are on the SASCOC website, however we could make them available for the members of the House. I must also indicate that Department of Education has been part of these project teams as well in the discussion of these documents. So, Nozipo may not have said it, but looking at PE in schools as well, the design is to fit into these plans for South Africa. And I think all this will fall under, as the Deputy Minister indicated this morning, the sports plan for South Africa. But currently we're working with the framework, the coaching framework, the long-term coaching framework, which is being developed with the support of the International Coaching Commission. And South Africa, we've learned through the work we've done, the draft was launched last year in November. The final document's going to be launched in November this year. And I think before the House asks, the Honourable Members ask, we will ensure that you are invited to the launch. That South Africa's actually been seen as being a leading country now in the coach development framework. The purpose of it is to align all coaching in the country. TACSETA is very much part of it. SAQUA is very much part of it. And it all has to fit within the NQF model and standards as well. So if you look at it, all the standard-generating bodies in the country have come together, both in sport and education and training, to ensure that whatever training that is going to be offered to anybody as coaches in the country, later we'll add on the umpires, administrators, etc., will be one accreditation, and agencies will have to be accredited as well. The SRSA, as far as school sport is concerned, will be training master tutors, senior tutors in provinces, and then taking it now down and open it up to educators. So these will be accredited educators moving from level 1, level 2, level 3, that accredited federation, international federation standards as well. So there's room for growth for coaches, umpires, etc. Part of this would obviously be to develop the training materials, and that is something that we are doing as well. Department of Education has agreed whatever work that they have started with training educators is going to be handed over to the Department of Sport. So we have one department totally focused on educator empowerment and skills development. So we have, you know, absolute, I think it's, I don't want to use the word control, but I think we can put in control measures for that. We're also looking at, as I said, the long-term participant development, and part of that is, whilst Department of Education and the agreement with our ministers was, anything that is happening inside a school that has to do with young learners, educators, and school to school, it is the competency of the Minister of Education and the Ministry and the Department of Education. They are ultimately responsible. However, if we're looking at sport in the country and arising out of that national sports plan, we need to look at what guidance do we give for the delivery of sport in the country. And if Department of Education is going to be leading on leagues in schools, then we need to look at them also perhaps as an agency delivering sport. So what are these guidelines that they would operate in terms of? This is where the federations come in, and we say, if it is that code of sport, the honourable member earlier raised the issue of football, for example, right? What are the guidelines that are going to guide it? If young people are playing sport, the formats for the tournaments, the standards, whatever has to prevail with that federation, has to be consulted or drawn up by the federation. So it's in keeping with international standards, national standards, and that is what we operate with in schools. So we didn't have different organizations and bodies doing different things. This in turn would ensure, as we said again, that young people who enter sport at age 5 or 4, the Deputy Minister has given us the example of people that are singing the national anthem for sport events at 4 years old, can start the pathway, enter the pathway, and we say to podium at international events or right up to death. Out of this entire exercise, we are hoping that we would create for everybody in the country a meaningful experience in sport. And at the same time, that through this, we would now, and for a long time, you know, members have been asking, where are the databases for people that are trained? What has happened to them? Have we been able to track them? And because it's been ad hoc training, it's been difficult to do that. This system, we are saying, is when somebody enters, they can be tracked, so they can move from level 1 to level 2 to level 3. And it's not just a case of somebody getting to a bus and saying, my friends have, there's a tournament there, you, my friend, come over, let's go and participate. You can umpire there. People need to go through processes. So the exercise at the moment, I think, in this part of the year, 2011 so far, has been to ensure that we have firm processes in place. On the issue of talent identification, my colleague Hajira is going to talk about, Hajira Mashego will talk about her area of work, which is talent identification and support for athletes, many of them in schools, and Simpiwe will speak to the issue of SRSA with regard to sports facilities. Hajira?
Thanks, Rohini. Can we put it up? Okay, on the issue of scientific support for athletes in schools, currently what we have is that we're giving sports science support through training camps for athletes, through medical support for athletes that have been selected, and through putting them in a residential program. So the way that we select those athletes is that currently with the system that we're having, it's not open to all athletes that are in the developmental pathway, but it's for national athletes that have been selected by federations that are school-going, age group is 14 to 18, and those are the athletes that have been picked to have potential to participate as high-performance athletes in the future. So those are the athletes then that get supported by us. They form a pool of athletes that get supported, and they then get a full menu of sports science support, of training camps, of medical support, and those that are the cream of that group then get put through a residential program where they then stay in a particular school, the best schools in the country when it comes to sport, we put them in there, and they then get coaching support, and they get the best menu when it comes to facilities, access, etc. What we are looking at with the school sport unit is that as soon as their systems are running, then we can really have an integrated support plan where we come in then to support the athletes that are also selected through the code leagues, and so that we then have an integrated support system that doesn't only focus on athletes that have been selected by federations. And in that way, when their system is running fully, we then won't have to go through the system of a residential program, because we won't have to uproot athletes from where they stay to take them to the best schools. We can form best schools wherever they are, and therefore give them the support wherever they are through provincial academies. That's the plan.
Just before that, can you excuse me? I'm not here. Chairperson, if I can just chip in on what Honorable De Villiers is saying, all provincial delegations are sitting at half past 12. I think so. So we, if we can all be excused, we are all provincial whips that are in this committee. It's not going to help us. Can you please just sit for another 15 minutes? I ask you. Then.
No, Chairperson, the chief whip of the NCOP is also in our delegation. He will be very cross when I arrive here.
Members, looking that all the provinces are having this provincial delegation meeting, so I think this is what you're going to do, what it will be a compromise rate, that I'm going to request the department that we are going to attend this meeting and reconvene at 2, so that we interact with the presentation. If members say that they cannot allow for 15 minutes just to, because it's the last presentation from Sintiwe, and then we there's a problem with the NCOP. This is what I just want to check, because I'm saying this is the last presentation that we are getting from Sintiwe. Honorable members, what do you decide?
Thank you. Can you please allow Honorable De Villiers to go and we go on for 15 minutes and finish off? We will apologize, although as leaders of delegations, we look as though we are not responsible to our members. But let's allow him to go.
Honorable De Villiers, the whip have spoken. can you proceed into it?
Yes. Chair, thanks very much for the opportunity to present. I'll try to be as brief as possible. Yes. Essentially, the issue of facilities is basically the fundamental of or the basis of development of sport, whether it's in school or it's in communities. Having listened to the colleagues presenting the various aspects of sport in schools, we had to then try and work on a coordinated approach to provision of facilities in schools. That's the critical thing that has been really challenging us. So between ourselves as well as the Department of Basic Education, we have now embarked on a process to try and make sure that we've got a coordinated approach in terms of both the facilities that are within the communities and facilities that are within schools. Because in most cases, you'll realize that some communities will have facilities. However, there may not be a facility inside the school or vice versa. There may be a facility inside the school. There may not be any facility in a community. So we need to then facilitate that process. So it is on the focus is on the shared use of schools and community facilities. And two, just to also outline the division of responsibilities in terms of funding and management of provision of sports facilities. The provincial departments of education are responsible for all sports facilities provided in schools. There are various funding mechanisms to actually do this. The first funding mechanism is education infrastructure grant, as well as then the equitable share that is that goes to the provinces. The second funding mechanism
make sure that what is provided Kwahlabisa and what is provided in Waterkloof, there's been a process of engagement between ourselves as the SRSA as well as the Department of Basic Education to also make inputs into the norms and standards, particularly the portion that deals with sport and recreation facilities. So the Department of Basic Education has got broad norms and standards on infrastructure in schools, but the parts that deal with sport and recreation facilities, we had to make sure that we develop jointly, we make an input into it to achieve some degree of uniformity. We have, over and above the norms that are published by the Department of Basic Education, also published the norms and standards for sport and recreation infrastructure generally in the country, which also assist then in guiding what minimum standards should be provided for in terms of sport and recreation facilities. Now, the question that is often asked is the question, whilst talking about the issue of funding, the question of the use of the municipal infrastructure grant, particularly in providing infrastructure in schools. Unfortunately, the conditions attached to that grant is such that the grant can only be used to provide facilities in that are municipal properties, not necessarily in schools. Those are some of the policies that can be, I think, they can counter development. They don't assist us in actually making sure that we look at the community as a holistic entity and say what infrastructure needs, or public infrastructure needs are in this community, whether it's a school, whether it's in a community. So, but we are now looking at those things jointly with Treasury to say, how can we ensure that when we look at the community, we look at the community holistically to see what is required, where, and be able to then respond to those infrastructure needs in a holistic manner. It will save the state money. It will save the state a lot of other resources in terms of operating and maintenance and so on. So those are some of the limitations that are within the system that we have actually noted. So in moving forward, we then agreed that it is a starting point, but we need to, having looked at the, or guided by the National Sport Plan and guided by the plan for sporting schools, we'll then have to develop an approach in terms of the provision of facilities in schools. One of the limitations that we have, perhaps the shortcomings that we have witnessed in the past, is that facilities are provided and then later on we start stretching our minds, by the way, what are we going to do with this facility? You end up having white elephants, or you end up having facilities that are not used and vandalized. So we're trying to make sure that a plan is put out first, whether for sport or sporting schools, and then in order to support that plan, you then work out what infrastructure do you need to actually address it. Chair, I would like to stop there, and I think perhaps it gives a broad outline of what the approach is, and there's still work in progress that we need to address.
Thanks, Chair. Mindful of time, we're just going to leap into the final slide and the way forward. I think that the key issues outlined in the Deputy Minister's input this morning have also, I think, laid the basis for our understanding of how we need to embark on the road ahead. First of all, the implementation of all of the recommendations as outlined in the joint plan. We will also look at an agreement on the funding responsibilities based on the roles that have been assigned to the two departments. The formal MOU has been developed. It has been supported by a developed program of action, and there's now preparation for the signing of the MOU by the two respective ministers. The finalization of the school sport policy, as well as the guidelines on sport implementation, is part of our way forward, as well as the fact that the Basic Education Minister will be publishing the school sport policy for public comment, as already outlined in our early inputs. Finally, Chair, I think that it's also important that the comments made by the Deputy Minister this morning, they resonate particularly for us as basic education as much as it does for sport and recreation of Africa. It's related to the creation of a healthy school culture and an environment which is conducive to the formalization and the formal institutionalization of all of these intentions as stated in our presentation. It's also about us looking at social mobilization for that school culture, as well as a community responsibility, which is, I think, emphasized throughout all of the input that we've made, that we don't only see the school sport challenge as being one located within the boundaries of the school, but it is in fact a societal matter, as much as we said our outcome one of government being our ethics priority. And for the work that we need to do, we also need to link it to our building of an ethical environment as we have stated, because our initiatives through the Bill of Responsibilities in DBE, together with the Lead South Africa campaign to advance and the aims of that Bill of Responsibilities, we also want to undertake the commitment to think again afresh for the nation building and citizenship training that is embedded in our curriculum mandate. So in terms of the work that we do collectively as the two departments, but also individually in our own areas of responsibility, we see that there's a fusion of those objectives in the way that we've undertaken this particular exercise. And it points, I think, to a healthy future in terms of our integrated embarking on a set of solutions that draw on the resources located within both departments so that we cannot sort of waste space resources that actually plow effectively into the mandates that we share. So, Chair, thank you very much, Honourable Members, also, for listening to our presentation. I know that because of time constraints, we might not be able to answer all of the questions that you have, but as the presenters have undertaken, we will certainly follow up in line with the questions that the Secretary might advance us for us to then add the additional information that we have, which we also couldn't project on slide because they're sat in two different computers. But we will certainly forward that for further distribution to members. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honourable members, it's now your opportunity to interact with the consultation. Since you were, I was just asking myself that, are we going to win this now? Because personally, I feel like your work is now broadened and we are still having outstanding issues from the facility. You are aware what I'm talking about. Honorable Kasmene, Honorable Mube, Honorable Bohoto, Honorable Slice, in that.
Thanks, Chairperson. Just two easy questions. I want to know that with these good plans that have been put in place here, how are both departments going to ensure that in each and every school, indeed, sports activities are taking place? Because we're in some of the schools in Eastern Cape, it was clear that there's no sporting activities that is happening in some of the schools, and it was a worrying factor. Yeah. And also the sports activities that are taking place at tertiary institutions, where do they fall under all these plans that are put before us? Thank you.
I'm looking at the integrated school sports framework, and within it you have an integrated implementation plan 2011 and it's draft. So what I would want to know, whether this one says progress, this one. So I want to find out the status of this draft as annexed in this document. If it is still at a draft stage, how soon would you be finalizing this? Because if you take it from here, maybe this is the latest, I don't know. So what I would then ask is the
there is the whole question of, I think it is yes, to say the training of the foundation phase educators, and just assuming that the provinces that you said, there are two provinces, Gauteng and another province, it comes from there. And we have 27,000 schools in South Africa. And this document says it is mandatory for, primary schools may not be 27,000, but one wants to know in terms of what about other provinces, if it is mandatory and we have not trained them, what are the implications? Because at the end, teachers will be blamed to say they're not complying, whereas training has not reached them. But also, linking it with the unavailability of the facilities. You have a school in the mountain, rocky ground. How does one do that training? With no hall that you can take a school if you avoid the rocky and the gravel ground and whatever it is. You also talked about, I'm not going to be saying from which you pick up your question, you talked about the model of training, I think from sports science, to say you have senior facilitators of the training and there will be accreditation. What one wants to know is that, what is this model? Is it direct training, or you start by, or you have a trainer? Because there are many problems with trainer. We're from curriculum, and teachers will say there's microwave. So if you have to accredit one of the students with universities, training teachers on curriculum and so-called accreditation, at the end, teachers can't implement. So what is the model that you'll be using, either any provider, to ensure that at the end of that training, educators are capacitated and correct in whatever mode of sport, any code of sport. The athlete identification, residential and whatever. I think you have to move beyond clubs. You have to move beyond clubs or federations. There are those children at school level that do not belong to clubs. So if we don't have a link of identifying them there from the schools, they won't benefit because few of them belong to clubs. One has an experience. On the provincial, let me talk quick. On the learner's pain, in your strategy you identifying a challenge on learners not participating in other sporting codes because of pain, starting from soccer, where almost all Africans play soccer already. So if the federation says you must play in order to participate, I want to link it with the no fee paying schools to say, I don't see the resolution here, the solution here. If we have the solution, it's fine, but if you don't have, I think there are these schools which fall under no fee paying schools, which to me, the package must also integrate different sporting codes to say they are covered because they are in the school that they don't pay the school fees. Let me just end there for the moment.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, mine is just a short one on those, I forgot where it is, but it's about the disabled, that there must be regular competitive sports. They must participate in those competitive sports. Are you referring to the disabled in special schools or in the mainstream schools? Because if it's in the mainstream, the problem might be the one of infrastructure that is suitable for them. How do you see yourself catering for those learners who are in the mainstream schools and are disabled. Second one, you said it very straight, Babum Nobe, which is the MIG, they only look at their own facilities. I'm not sure. I see here that you are talking about the provincial department of education that should be provided for the facilities. But the problem that we have is that they take it from that the particular grant that is given to them, and this grant is for everything that they deem fit, not specifically for sports. Now, as we know that sports, especially in the deep rural areas, has not developed that much. The interest is not that much. And you call parents, you tell them that this is how we'll work. They'll tell you about what they think is the most important issues to deal with rather than improving the sports facilities. So there is that problem because this money is not reinvested. If the money was reinvested to say this particular money coming from this department is for that. So I don't know if you and the Department of Education can make sure that certain funds that you give to the school so to make this a success are ring-fenced specifically so that you don't find a problem of disagreement within the department to say, no, school A has got sports ground, we can't have it because we have got, we don't have something, the money is going to be used for that. Depending on what they will be prioritizing at that particular school. And I must just say that I see this this progress report as very ambitious. I hope that some of the things here, I'm just asking myself whether they are implementable. But let's hope. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. I will be very brief because of time. I know that we've got time constraints, Chair. But I just want to quickly check with the department, in particularly in the provision of facilities, school facilities, that the department quickly scan the environment, conducting the needs analysis, checking to existing schools that are currently in the country. How many do of those schools need facilities? Because I am asking this question basically because, Chair, I have quickly run such physical checking in the province and district where I come from. And I found out in about 21 schools, only two of them have a proper, yard where they could build a school facility. But majority of the schools do have a very small area. Some of the school yards are far less than 2,000 square meters, so you would not be able to put even an infrastructure there. I am saying it because in one area, there is a school which was, in terms of that program, Chair, of rebuilding the math school. Actually, in the town where I come from, they have demolished the school, they are putting up a new school, but actually, there's a problem with the space for the school itself. For the grounds, I can't say anything because it's not there. And the other thing that I wanted to check is you have identified contextual factors in your presentation. I want to check with you what contextual factors have you identified as the department that you are definitely sure that these contextual factors are actually going to hamper your delivery of maybe code competition and leagues in schools. Where is it on time? Where is it because of the reluctance of the physical personnel to do that? What are those actual factors? The last one, Chair, it will be on the establishment of coordinating committees. I just want to check. I know for sure that in some areas, they are an existing, they call it sports committees, whether to check if this coordinating committee is going to replace the existing committees that are there at the ground, and check the establishment of the coordinating committee, whether it's going to be more regional or more of provincial or local level, or the district, at the circuit level. That's what I wanted to check. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Slaki. To the department, I'm going to request that you try that to wind up, and those that you cannot respond to do that in writing, because there's a committee that was supposed to be here at half past 12 to request them to give us that statement. It's already outside waiting for 1 o'clock to start with their meeting.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll quickly run through a few of the questions, and I'll allow my colleague to take the others. Firstly, to ensure that sport is taking place in all schools, it's going to be a process, because currently we're working with a number of stakeholders, but key to those stakeholders are school governing bodies, because as you're well aware that according to SASA, it is the school governing body that determines what sporting codes each school needs to do. So we're also lobbying the school governing body to assist us in terms of getting what we are discussing to schools and ensure that each and every school where they've got members, there is a sport that is actually taking place, especially the issues of the leagues. So they are already on board. And part of what we do in terms of mobilization, we also fit in the very same information. The tertiary institution sport is being coordinated by the Department of Higher Education. So we are also assisting in terms of, you know, information if they do need. And in those areas, but they are responsible for tertiary institutions. Training of PE educators, the physical education that we refer to here is the one that we call curriculum-oriented physical education, which means it's within the curriculum, but it's not really focusing on the drillings, which is what we call physical training, where we need to have resources, facilities, and everything. Right now, we speak about what is it that the child must be able to do in terms of the skills, the fine motor skills, the gross motor skills, and so forth. Then utilizing whatever that is around the teacher to be able to do that. But then the issue of resources comes at a later stage. For an example, in foundation phase, without going through the whole program, but in foundation phase, the emphasis is on gross motor skills and fine motor skills. As they move to intermediate phase and senior phase, that's when they start looking at sport-specific skills that they've gained at the foundation phase and then translating it to specific sporting codes. But I'll provide a document that will outline all those differences and what we are talking about. The issue of no-fee-paying schools and the issue of affiliation, we are really working hard as a department to encourage committees not to charge affiliation fees, because it's not proper. Each and every child must be able to access sport without even considering whether they can pay or not pay. Part of what we're going to do in terms of managing these sporting codes that we've talked about, that Rohini spoke about, that we are trying to set up, is also to assist them not to have a need to actually charge for affiliation fees. Because the question is, if as a department you are assisting the codes to function, what will this affiliation fee be for? You know, so that's what we are trying to do at the moment. And lastly, the issue that has been raised around what are we doing in terms of ensuring that the facilities are there. I know Central is going to come in there, but on our side, in terms of mobilization as well, we are mobilizing as many schools as possible to be able to open up their already existing facilities for schools to be able to use the facility that is there. For an example, in a district, you've got different schools, you know, having a variety of facilities that could be used by other schools if the issue of access is there. While the opportunity and fiscal planning are dealing with building new facilities, but the already existing schools with facilities must be able to access, make sure that there is access to their facilities and the utilization thereof. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. No, time really against us. I'm going to request, today is Wednesday, that the outstanding response of Uganda should be on the members' pigeonhole side guiding on it. That it means that from there you're going to work on that responsible place. So on that note, our Mrs. Aden, we are just under pressure.